Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined us on today, and I know God has a tremendous blessing for you on today. Truly, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad therein. Today is the day that our Lord has made, and so we're going to rejoice. But I want to let you know on today that I have a great lesson for you, a talk on today to share with you, and I know that God has a blessing for you on today. So I welcome each and every one of you that have joined me on today and everyone in the radio land that is attuned at this time. On today, God given me and laid in my heart to share with you on today, signs of Christ's coming. Our focus is going to be on the scripture Mark 13 and 4. And it reads on this line, tell us when shall these things be and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled. The scripture reference and lesson that is going to be centered around our talk today is going to be found over in Matthew chapter 24, verse 32 through 44. And it reads on this line, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So likewise, ye, when you shall see all these things, how that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the day of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the day that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that day Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Lord of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord do come. But know this, that if the good man of the house have known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore ye be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So on today, we're going to be talking about various things. Number one, we're going to be focusing on the world condition, deception and how rampant it is, nations and kingdoms, earthquakes and famine, wars and rumor of wars, perilous times and spiritual condition, the rejecting of sound doctrine, departing from the faith, lukewarm believers, and how Jesus warned the believers to watch, pray, and be ready. And so this is what we're going to be talking about on today. And so if you want, you can grab your Bible. We'll be walking through the scripture as we go throughout this talk on today. In the recent years, some have made unwise assertions that Jesus was coming at one particular day. When the predicted day came and went without incident, the supposed prophets often faced deserved ridicule by news media and Christians alike. The scripture clearly indicates that we do not and will not know the exact date or time of Jesus' coming. And the scripture you can find the reference to that is over in Matthew 24, verse 36. Also Mark 13 and 32. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. The most regretting aspect of the action of those who attempt to establish a date of Christ's return and their subsequent failure is the effect that their behavior has on the prophecy outlook of believers and unbelievers alike. The believer who is weak in the faith is given to uncertainty, doubt, and the thought comes to their mind that Christ maybe Christ is not coming after all. Then on the other hand, the unbeliever does not realize that these false prophets are not part of the church. They mistakenly associate the unbiblical behavior of these misinformed individuals with the church as a whole. And it is impossible for the church to be too strong in this disassociation with and condemnation of such effort to predict the time of Christ's appearance. Though there may be certain variants among apostolics today regarding some elements of the eschatological teaching and the foundation of our basic prophetical doctrine in the premillennial in his views of catching away of the church and the second coming of Christ, there may be varying latitude among other ideas relative to prophecy that we generally agree on some important facts. And one thing is vital, however, the Christian must be ready to meet the Lord whenever he chooses to come. The signs of the time which Jesus gave to his followers indicate the general nearness of his coming, but we do not know the exact day or time. We do recognize Jesus is coming soon, but he could come for any one of us at any time, whether we meet him through the rapture or by death. We will rejoice equally at being in his presence. Now, the thought of Jesus coming to catch away the church should bring comfort to the heart of every believer. We do know that he's coming, and we know that he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That is a fact. We do know that he is coming. But the day and the hour, child of God, we do not know. 1 Thessalonians 4:19 said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now let's take a look at our first point on our talk today is about the world condition. When we consider the horror of crime or the sweeping tides of evil and the world's condition declares that Jesus is coming. With constant exposure to evil in our days, we also must be aware of what is going on in our world in order to battle against the effects of evilness. As a part of the Lord's church, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And you'll see John 15, verses 18 through 19, John 17, verses 14 through 16. Our attitude should be different from that of the world. Yet Satan has been seen by some people to be bigger than he is in reality. We need to view him as he is, put him in proper perspective, and recognize him for what he is. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, the father of lies, the slanders of those who love truth. It is by our own misconception of Satan and by our own unchristian practice that he is able to gain any spiritual advantage over us whatsoever. We must not be ignorant of his devices. And you'll find that over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verses 10 through 11. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it. For your sake, forgive I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. And that's why, children of God and Radio Land, it's important, it is imperative that we forgive those that offend us. Because you don't want to allow Satan to get an advantage over you and block out the knowledge that you do know about God and overshadow it with despondency and darkness, not being able to be in the presence of God because we're holding on unforgiveness, pain, hurt, and disappointment. We must let those things go out of our life and nail it on the cross of Calvary. It said, let us consider the quickly changing world conditions. Only a few years ago, even the Soviet Union was the most feared power on the globe because of their expansion policy, their nuclear capability, and their regressive system of government. When it began to fall, it soon began to be divested of all its satellite countries. And what seemed to be a threat today may not be that tomorrow. What seemed to be unshakable today is not. Now let's look at deception that is rampant. You will find it over in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 5. It said, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heart that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Let's look at here. Jesus warned against deception and deceivers, Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. Often we are quite concerned with the thoughts of predicted wars and earthquakes or famine. But before Jesus warned of these, he warned of such more dangerous development, and that was deception. So here we must be more concerned about deception as about the things that we're seeing, the prediction of war, the earthquake and the famine that we know that is going to be imminent, that's going to happen and things. But he also warned the church and the believers about deception, and that is rampant even in the world today. All of the knowledge of world events is unimportant. If we misinterpret it or if we do not understand it, we must beware of the deception that is in the world today. We must be concerned about that deception. Satan would like to confuse the Christian in this day with a whole system of questions which have little, if anything, to do with the purpose of the church. It is the responsibilities of the believer, however, to stay focused on the main purpose of the church. We should refuse to be distracted by political or sociological concerns that will steal our attention and effort. If the church is occupied with these side issues, it cannot be effective at carrying out the commandments of Jesus. We must not be deceived. Jesus passionately made this point at least twice in his discourse recorded in Matthew 24. So, child of God, yes, those issues are important. Yes, we must attend to things. Yes, there's things that we must do, but we cannot allow ourselves to be so engulfed or intoxicated by the issues and the vicissitudes of life that we forget what Jesus has said and the word of God declared unto the people of God. Turn your heart and your mind back to the word and what the word of God is saying. Be not deceived. Though there may be many who will come claiming to be Christ or like Christ, we must not be fooled or distracted by their claims. Jesus warned that false prophets and Christ would deceive many, but our attention and effort must remain securely anchored in Jesus Christ and his plan of salvation. Do you see it, child of God? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man weep, he shall sow it. That's what the word of God says. So, child of God, don't allow yourself to be deceived. Let's look at our next point. Point B, nations and kingdom. God is still, we must recognize, child of God, that God is still in control of this world in spite of nations, in spite of kingdoms that are raising and falling. God still rules over everyone. You'll see that over in Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. The Lord's power, it is his power to set up kings and to put them down. It is God that has the power to do that. We must recognize that over in Matthew 24 and 7 it states, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. It is in the word of the Lord. Even Ecclesiastes let us know there is nothing new upon the sun. God's word has already depicted and declared. Jesus well described the challenge of our days when he said nation would rise against nation. Not only have there been tension and strife between various countries of the world, but also of cultural distinctives within those nations. Perhaps there have been never been a time in history when there have been more attempts to magnify the difference between cultures. Since efforts have been given birth to new and often used words in our days, multiculturalism, it is important for the church to remember that with God, we are all one people. Even though our culture may be different, we are still under God's eyesight, one people. It is displeasing to God for there to be divisions, groups, and cliques within the church. God clearly demonstrated that he is no respecter of persons. And you'll find that over in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 9 through 16. Also Galatians 2, 1 through 16. Now, let's look at our next point on today, earthquakes and famine. We read it in Matthew, over in chapter 24, verse 7. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. This is what the word of the Lord said. Now, clearly the world has experienced increased earthquake activity throughout the centuries. While some of the increase may be attributed to better sensing equipment and better reporting of these events, which begun with in a scientific manner only in this century, the major factor is the fulfillment of God's word. It is no accident that our world has been shaken to its core, for Jesus is coming again. And that's why the earth is moaning and groaning. Jesus is on his way back. Even the earth is passing away, and the famines and the earthquake that we see, the prediction by Jesus that there would be famine in various places have come to pass as well. There are cases where famine has been self-inflicted on people because of religions that forbid starving people to eat cattle, which they believe is to be sacred. Other nations experience famine not because of the lack of food, but because of their own oppressive governments. There are many tons of food rotting on docks because of unkind dictatorship rules in countries. Perhaps some land have suffered famine because of inadequate agricultural and land conservatorial training. However, while there has been famine in many lands throughout the world for different reasons, the main point to consider is not the various causes for the famine, but the fact that the presence of the famine signaled to the world that Jesus is coming. He's coming again. Let's look at a next point, wars and rumors of war. We find that over in Matthew 24 and 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Let's look at here. The warning Jesus gave that there will be wars and rumors of war just prior to his coming is important. Some people have dismissed the coming of Jesus because there have always been wars and rumors of war. But the kind of conflict this century has eclipsed anything in the previous history. The newness of aircraft, motorized vehicle, including tanks and weapons of mass destruction, has turned this century into a new kind of battlefield. Even the wounds afflicted, acquired in battles today may be very different than those of the past war. Today there is much more fear of new chemical weapons, germ warfare, and sophisticated psychological attacks. These all points to the coming of Jesus as being nearer than ever before. Now, is this for us to go into a mass panic? No, it is for us to draw nigh unto the Lord and to be able to do those things that God is calling. Turn our hearts back to him and get into the word of the Lord. The other part of the verse of the scripture is also significant, but the end is not yet. We must not assume that the end is so near that we quit our jobs, and join communes and wait until Jesus instructs us. No, we must occupy until he comes. We must be faithful to work he has given us to do. And we'll find that over in Matthew 19:13. But it is to be God conscious, to be conscious that the Lord is going to come. It's not for us to barricade our life into the house and not go out the house or anything. But God said that for us to look up for our redemption draws nigh. Continue to be about our Father's business. Continue on working. Continue on. But just know in our hearts that Jesus Christ is soon to come. Let's look at another point. Perilous times. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. The condition in our world today reflects the description given by the Apostle Paul in his second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. And it reads on to this line, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, furious, deceivers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-mindedness, lover of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." The Bible warns us, "For such turn away." It seems that there have never been a time in history when people have been more self-centered, greedy, boastful, and proud than in our days. Never before have there been a worldwide spread of child abuse, sexual abuse, and even molestation as today. Pornography on the rampage. Disobedience to parents have gone from simple act of rebellion to the full challenge and scales of divorcing of children from their parents. And even worse, the bizarre and hideous murdering of their parents. Moreover, the lack of gratitude is an epidemic. The apostle went on to say that people will be unholy. It is said that many people who once embraced holiness in lifestyle are now pursuing carnal pleasures rather than the things of God. Oh, child of God, come, Lord Jesus, even so come. Moreover, the final words of the scripture passage from the New International Version will depict our time. And it reads on this line, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lover of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, having nothing to do with them. That's 2 Timothy 3:3-5, the New International Version. What should we be? Should be the response of the children of God to the perilous times in which we live. Paul said, for such, turn away. When warned of the dangers of the period of the Great Tribulation, many people vowed that they would lay down their lives if necessary. When warned that their family would suffer greatly, they often claimed that they would protect them. But it is interesting that Jesus' description of the scene, even before he returned to earth, is quite different from that. Now the brethren shall betray the brethren to death, the father the son, and the children shall raise against the parents and shall be caused them to be put to death. That's what Mark 13:2 said. Everyone wants to be well liked by others, but the scripture reveals that before the coming of Christ, there will be ones who will face death for the faith, their faith in Jesus Christ. Some will be incarcerated because their love for the truth. That's what the Bible is saying. Mark 13:9-13 has already depicted and said, and we see it even now, men and women of God are being hauled off to jail because of their faith in the Word of God. These are the conditions, and these are the times in which we live, child of God. Be not deceived. I hear the Spirit of the Lord. Be not deceived as you hear this voice crying in the wilderness. Let's look at the spiritual condition. All of the troubles and social conditions that we face in our world today have a common source, and that common source is sin. The direction of our world has gone in the culmination of some 6,000 years of sinful influence. The only hope for our world is to recognize sin and the effect of sin for what they are, and moreover, remove sin from the very root. All effort at social engineering will not improve the situation, for Jesus is the answer. Can you shout hallelujah? The spiritual condition is that they're going to reject sound doctrine, departing from the faith, and lukewarm believers. Now, let's look at these spiritual conditions, children of God, radio land, those that are listening, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto the church today. 2 Timothy 4:3, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. In 2 Timothy 4:3, the Apostle Paul wrote of a time in which people would seek out teachers who would satisfy them by teaching what they found to be pleasing. There is no shortage of false prophets today who would gladly deliver weakened message in exchange for the goodwill of the people. We must be diligent to know the scripture and to know the teachers to whom we are subject ourselves. Paul warned the Christians at Thessalonica, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. We must be careful of what influence we allow to affect us. Sometimes we grab speakers on the radio, may sound so good with their stories and deliveries that our own, you know, we must be careful, but our own consideration should not be the delivery, but is the doctrine being taught? Is it true? Is it what the scripture has said? If it's what the word of the Lord is saying and speaking to the heart of his people. Now let's look at the next point. Departure from the faith. Over in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 3. Don't you dare turn the dial. You must hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto your church today, child of God. The scripture is saying, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of devil, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to receive with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Child of God, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Many people are being carried away and things and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil and speaking lies in hypocrisy. And children of God, you don't want your conscience to be served with a hot iron, but you want to be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto your church. Oh, hear the voice of the one crying in the wilderness on today. Child of God, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto your church. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I speak today. Some people are going to depart from the faith because they listen to and heed the teachers of false doctrine. These teachers may sound good, but if their message is not truth, we must reject it and reject them. If we do not take seriously the Bible, truthfulness of the teaching we hear, we can fall to false doctrine and eventually depart from the fellowship of the believers. One group that have an extra Bible doctrine, different things, we must recognize without recognizing that Jesus' fulfillment of the Sabbath law was the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We'll find that over in Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12. They became confound and deceived by those who were mishandling of the word of God. Even though the Bible does not forbid different things, a different diet, it is not the point to insist on. 1 Timothy 4 and 3. Now let's look at the lukewarm believer. And this is what we're seeing as never before. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 15 and 16 states, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out my mouth. Hear, child of God. In the battle between right and wrong, between good and evil, everyone must choose a side. If a person tries not to choose a side, he will discover that there is no neutrality in this war, and he will become very miserable. God gave us the power of choice. We have the wonderful opportunity to choose to live for him or choose to reject him. And I encourage you, child of God, to choose ye this day whom you will serve and choose the Lord's side. He is looking for people who will choose not only to serve him, but also to give him their complete commitment, child of God. You cannot be lukewarm. You cannot be hooked between two opinions. You must make up your mind who you are going to serve. Can you shout hallelujah? I hear the voice of the Lord today. Choose ye today whom you are going to serve. Choose God and live. Let's look at what Jesus warned the believers, child of God. The word beware indicates a strong sense of urgency. Beware of dogs. Beware of danger. In the same sense, Jesus' warning to watch for his return was urgent. Over in Matthew 24, verse 42 and 51, let us to know he was warning us to watch. Therefore, it was further danger to setting dates for Jesus' return to earth. There is a danger that when a person thinks the Lord will return on a certain day, he tends to let up his guards for other days. When he realizes that the coming of the Lord is imminent, however, he does not know exactly when he will return. He will be more diligent about his life every day. And so, child of God, today we must be diligent about our life every day, not letting up or letting down or giving heed to seducing spirit. But we must ever watch, for the time draws nigh. The next point that I want to share with you in your hearing is, the Bible let us know to watch, pray, and be ready. Mark 14:38. The Bible said, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is weak. Let's take a look at that. Because it's critical for us as children of God and believers today, because it is true that the flesh is weak, and that our spirit is willing, and we must recognize and come to grips and turn that sometimes it's the inward battle between our flesh and our spirit that goes on, and we must conquer our flesh, conquer the fleshly mindset, and stand firm in the spirit of the Lord with great confidence and boldness. Here, let's look at a person's flesh, or the carnal state or carnal nature, the innate tendency towards sin. It is that carnal man that wants to war against the spiritual man, that wants to continue to pull you towards the fleshly nature. We will destroy him if we fail to keep it under subjection to the spirit. And so, child of God, we must keep that carnal nature under subjection to the Spirit of God. Yes, we must bring this body, this flesh, up under the subjection to the Spirit of the Lord. Our carnal nature is central. It's pleasure-seeking. It's selfish and even can be corrupt. Paul the Apostle wrote that there is no good thing in this carnal nature of man. And you can find that over in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. We must be watchful and praying, preparing for the return of Christ. Our spiritual appetite will lead us into spiritual things as we set our affection up on those things that are above and not on those things that are here on this world. At times, the Spirit causes us to feel an urgency to get to church, to get to the prayer meeting, to get to Bible study or read our word. We can feel the optionizing, the quickening power of the Spirit of the Lord to get to the word of the Lord or get up in the middle of the night, maybe 3 o'clock in the morning. The Spirit of the Lord will urge you to get up and go down on your knees and begin to pray. There are other times when, because of our carnal nature, it's at its real effort to do everything of the spiritual nature, meaning that we have to really give a lot of effort to doing the things of the Lord, because we in conflict with the carnal man and the spiritual man, because the fleshly man want to take over. And that's where the inward battle takes on. Because Paul said, I would do good, but evil is always present. He found himself in a battle but he learned how to keep himself up under subjection. And so it is, child of God, when you find yourself in that place of embattlement. And what is the battle? Should I go to church or should I stay home because I'm tired? I got a whole week to go of work and I'm tired. I've been working and my body is tired. I got different things that are going on I have to attend to. I come to tell you, child of God, you must put your priority in order and give heed to the things of God and get to the house of the Lord, because that's where the Bible said for us not to forsake ourselves to assembling together even more so as we see the day approaching. That means that we need to get to Bible studying. That means that even if we're tired, we need to press over our fleshly tiredness and get to the house of God. Once you take one step forward over that tiredness, the Spirit of the Lord will quicken you and strengthen you and give you the power to get to the house of God. Have you ever picked up your Bible and begin to read it, and all of a sudden your eyes get so heavy. You feel as though you're ready to fall asleep. That's this warfare, because the adversary don't want you to get what the word is getting ready to say to your heart as you read it. But once you say, God, give me strength to read the Bible, give me strength to stay focused, to be in communion with you tonight, then the Spirit of the Lord, you've given God permission to come in and help you and to quicken you, to take you to the next level, to be able to read that Bible. And so sometimes, it's the battle of the flesh, however, it is important that we feed our spiritual person, our spiritual man, and starve the fleshly nature. How do we do that? We do it in fasting. We do it in praying. We do it by reading the Bible, the word of the Lord. Now, let's look at another point here as we move quickly and expeditiously through this lesson or talk today. Let's look at our personal devotion, because that's where the war is at, to get you away from your own personal devotion and time with God. It is good and right that a Christian attend prayer meeting, as many prayer meetings as possible in the local church. Hebrews 10, 22 and 25. It is also a good thing to participate in public prayer, but these designated time of public prayers are not enough. We must engage in our own personal and private devotion with God as well. Corporate prayer, public prayer is vital as well, and as well as important. But as you leave that place, you must still be engaged in communion and prayer with God. All believers need to have time of devotion alone between with God and themselves. They are private and personal time with the most intimate hurt and joys of our heart can be laid out before the Lord. Jesus spoke of the importance of such time with God alone, Matthew 6 and 6. That private devotion, as you open your heart, open your mind and spirit before God and allowing God to walk in and heal everywhere you hurt. Doing these private devotion, God will speak to us, often reminding us of the things we heard and were taught from his preached word. He'll bring it to remembrance. He'll bring it back to our mind. As important as private times with the Lord may be, however, we also need the interaction and fellowship of public gathering with our family of God that God has given unto us, the family of the house of God, our church family. God is not expecting his people to just sit around waiting for his return, but we are to be busy about his work and purpose on the earth. For this cause, we need to fellowship, encourage and exhort one another, build one another up, that they can not only be able to help one another, but we need to edify our sisters and brother, build them up and things, and encouraging them. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as some do. The scripture read over in Hebrews 10 and 25. On the contrary, we are to gather together, exhort one another, and to be even more faithful as we see the day of Christ returning and approaching. The Amplified Bible translates Hebrews 25 as not forsaking nor neglecting to assemble together as believers, as it is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, and urging, and encouraging everyone and all more faithfully as we see the day approaching. We can see and hear on the horizon that people are saying that they rather stay at home. They rather look at the television or get fed from the television and things. But the Bible said for us not to forsake ourselves assembling together. It is God's will that you get to the house of God. It is God's place where he will meet his people, commune with them, suck with them, and talk with them. And what the adversary has used, offenses in the church, to keep people from coming to the house of God, disappointment, let down, and things that are happening to the saints of God. These are tools of the adversary that's trying to keep the people of God from assembling together, coming together, backbiting, gossiping. These are tools of the adversary to keep the children of God from where God has called us as children of God. Open our eyes, children of God. Open our ears to see what the adversary is doing. Want to allow deception to run rampant when God said, come to the house of God. Many are saying, no, I'm staying home. I can read my own Bible. I can listen to the televangelists. And yes, they are important. Yes, they are needful. But more needful is for us to obey and heed the word of the Lord by not forsaking ourselves of assembling, even more so as the day of the Lord is appearing and approaching. So get back into the house of God. Go back to church. Ask God to lead you and to guide you into all truth, into the place where he wants you to be at, so that you can be fed, so your life can be in obedience unto what God is calling and the place in the house of refuge for the children of God. Our gathering together for encouragement needs to be more so and even more often rather than less often as Jesus' coming is approaching. We need to help one another to maintain a pure faith in God and a pure lifestyle and pure doctrine. And have we not seen no more Bible study or no more Sunday evening services, no more Friday night service, no more shut-ins, and things seem like the programs in the house of God is shutting down. But God is exhorting us to get back to our Father's business and get back into the house of God so that we can maintain that pure faith in God, that pure lifestyle, and that pure doctrine. Haven't we seen the delusion? Things are being diluted, but God is saying, call my people back. This is the voice of God crying out in the wilderness. For the people to know the truth is good, but it is insignificant alone. We must love the truth, not only know it, but love it. Only a true love for truth will preserve us whole and blameless in the face of many temptation and deception as we reach it. As we approach the return of Jesus Christ, if we love and obey truth and pray diligently and assemble ourselves together regularly with the people of God and watch daily for our Lord's appearing, nothing can deceive us or shake us from being ready to meet him when he comes. So it's important, child of God, that we must return back and be about our Father's business and doing and being back in the house of God. Bible study, midweek service, Friday night service, Sunday evening service, that we may live a holy and a pure life before God when he comes to find the church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Too many people have become obsessed with the wrong things when it comes to the return of Jesus Christ. Too many have been overly concerned with a desire to know an identity of an Antichrist rather than knowing more about the real Christ. Jesus wants us to be concentrating on knowing him and being more like him. Infatuated with the events of the end time could distract us and draw our attention away from Christ. Rather, we should be in love with Jesus. There are two clearly identified things that we will hear heralded at the end according to the scripture. The preaching of the gospel will be in all the world, and that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14. Thank God for the internet radio to be able to allow the talk shows to go forth throughout the land. There will be a cry throughout the world of peace and safety. See Thessalonians 5:1-3. There is no reason for the child of God to be caught off guard by the return of Christ. The Holy Spirit within us will quicken us and prompt us to do the things that feed the spiritual man, and will urge us to reject those things that feed the carnal nature. If we will follow the things that's urging and the optionizing of the Spirit of the Lord, we will be ready to meet the Lord in the air. Can you just shout hallelujah, child of God? I want you as never before to turn your heart and your mind back to God and the things of the Lord. He is coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I hear the Bible say, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. For the spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is weak. And that's why we have to mortify the deeds of this flesh. That's why we cry out unto the Lord our God to help us to be the men and the women of God that God is calling us out to do. Why be halt between two opinions? I come to tell you today that these things shall be needful, that there will be a great falling away. So we must recognize, child of God, you don't have to be the one that fall away. But what we can do is draw nigh unto God, that God may draw nigh unto us. Don't you dare stop praying. Don't you dare stop reading your Bible. Don't you dare stop fasting and seeking the heart and the mind of God. Don't get distraction. Don't allow deception to run rapid in your mind. Don't you dare give heed to the subduing spirit and doctrines of devils. But you keep and hold fast to your confidence, because it has great recompense of reward. God is going to reward you as you hold fast to the things of God. I hear the Bible say, buy the truth and sell it not. And so, child of God, you hold fast to that which you know is true. Read your Bible. Stay, keep your faith like a flint. Stay in the word of the Lord and watch God move in your life. We have a great work to do, child of God. Continue to do the work of the Lord. Don't you dare come down. Don't you dare give up. Hold fast to the hand of the Lord. Cry out to God. He'll help you. He that will come, and he will not tarry. Can you shout hallelujah? Oh, I feel the Spirit of the Lord today. We must pray, child of God, as never before. Pray for those that don't know God. Pray for those that are crying out today, even those that devastation that is walking throughout the land, let us stand in the gap. Let us pray as never before for those that don't know God, for those that are broken, those that are overcome by grief and bereavement of things that are coming upon this land. Let us cry loud and spare not, child of God, as never before. God needs somebody to stand in the gap. And so I call every prayer warrior, I call every intercessor to stand up and go back down on your knee and take heart in your spirit and cry out unto God. And God will hear us and asking God to stand up in his sanctuary. And oh, God will move by his power divine. And so, child of God, I pray that you have been blessed on today. Continue on in the work. Continue on in the things of the Lord. But continue to witness. Continue to seek out the lost sheep of the house of Israel for the Lord our God. And God is going to do a great work in your life if you make yourself available unto God and the things of God. I want to say I thank you for allowing this message, this word, to come into your place today, whether you be on your job, whether you be in your home or your place of abode. I pray that you never give up. I pray that your faith will increase, your faith will increase in God. I hear the Bible said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock, and the door shall be open unto you. If you don't have it today, maybe strength, maybe faith, maybe money, maybe your child, God got it. All you have to do is ask God, because you're just one prayer away. Go back, child of God, and ask God. Go back, child of God, and seek again. Go back and knock again. God is ready to open that door unto you. So be thou encouraged. Wipe those tears from upon your eyes. Lift your head to the hill from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. God is going to help you, child of God. So I come to say, be thou encouraged. Recognize that God have all power in his hand, and he can do everything but fail. Put your trust and your confidence in God, not what you see, not what you hear, but what you believe that God is able to do. Can you just shout hallelujah? I recognize that God is blessing his people. These are seem like sometimes the worst of times, but this is the best time that we will see the hand of the Lord move throughout the land. Will you be used by God? Will you make yourself available? Will you return back to God's house? Oh, God is looking for you to hear your voice praying, to hear your voice singing, to see you back in ministry doing the work that he's called you out to do. Get back up, child of God. Get back to your post, child of God. The Lord has need of you. Wipe your eyes. Let the healing balm from Gilead heal your wounds and get back on the wall. Child of God, today, get back in Sunday school. Get back in Bible study, in the prayer meeting, in choir rehearsal. God needs somebody's voice. Get back there and allow God to use you, child of God. My prayer with you today, if the Spirit of the Lord will quicken you, in your mind and in your spirit. You must renew your mind daily, child of God. The mercies of God are new every day. Forgive yourself and receive the forgiveness of the Lord. Ask God to forgive you. Oh, he's just and he's faithful to wash us and to forgive us of all our sins and our unrighteousness. Seek ye the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Go back and seek God and watch God bless you. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God is going to greatly bless you, child of God. It has been a pleasure and it has been an honor on today to be with you on today. Recognize that God loves you and he is going to bless you and your children and your children's children. It is a promise unto you. Claim it in spite of what you see. Claim it as never before, because we serve the resurrector. He's able to resurrect every dead situation and every promise that seems afar off. God is able to do it in your life. So be thou encouraged. Take your faith. The Bible says the just shall live by their faith. Go on, child of God, and live by your faith. God will bring it to pass if you can just believe it. Hallelujah. Gracious God, I thank you for this opportunity to be with your precious people throughout this land. Strengthen them, undergird them, and let them hold fast unto your word. And we will praise your blessed name. And so I say again in my closing, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one prayer away from your miracle. I'm excited about your future. Send me an email. Let me know if this has been a blessing to you. Go out, leave your water pot, and tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. May God richly bless you is my prayer. Until we meet again, may you ever be encouraged to do the work and the will of God. God bless you is my prayer. Bye-bye.